So as you have probably gathered, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. It is that time in the Easter season when we notice a discernible shift in the readings. The personal eyewitness accounts of the risen Christ give way to something new. Today, Jesus speaks directly to us. He is the sole voice that we hear. And this is an invitation to us to pay particular attention on this day. Using the image of an ideal shepherd, Jesus does something really important. He highlights the nature and the purpose of God's own interaction with us. And he also uses that image for something else. Jesus uses it to align and to assess his own life and his own purpose in relation to God. And I think Jesus does something else with that image. He invites us to use it as well, to assess how we relate to God and to Jesus and to each other as well. For generations, protecting and providing for the flock has been the primary responsibility of a shepherd. It's at the heart of a shepherd's work. And as Psalm 23 points out, tending the flock is no ordinary routine task. In this beloved psalm, the Lord is cast into our role as shepherd. And the final verse of that psalm asserts that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Now, both the New Revised Standard Version, so what we read and what we sing in this place, and then the more ancient King James Version, both of those use this same language and invite us to imagine this divine shepherd who very carefully and gently follows us. That caretaker shadows us, and perhaps that caretaker follows us a little like a parent might follow a child when that child strikes out on her own for the first time. But it turns out that God's desire for us is much, much greater than any mild or cautious interest. The Hebrew text expresses a deep longing on God's part. That longing is urgent, it is intense, and it is very personal. Rather than just following us, the text says that God pursues us. God's mercy and steadfast love chase us. They chase us to the very ends of our existence. Regardless of how far the flock wanders, or regardless of how lost we become, that goodness and that steadfast love shadow us. That is how significant and how important God's deep care and longing is for us. They are always next to us. That presence of God is unshakable. God tirelessly seeks out the flock to the exclusion of anything else. For Jesus and for us, that is what this model of the Good Shepherd is. Sam Wells, who is the vicar of St. Martin's in the Field in London, says this. He says that God's greatest desire is to be with us. That is God's fundamental purpose, being with each one of us and being with the whole of creation. God's purpose is not first about rescuing us or even empowering us, but instead being with each one of us. It is to share our existence. It is to enjoy our hopes and our fears. It is to enjoy our delights and our griefs, to enjoy our triumphs and our disasters right alongside each one of us. Wells goes on to say that all of the other actions of God prepare the way for this purpose, God being with us. That is all that is ever present in God's heart, and that is all that shall ever be in God's heart. And that desire for this relationship with God is so fundamental that there is only one thing in the entire canon of Scripture that is named as not good, and that is loneliness. Being isolated from God and God being isolated from us, that is the one thing that is to be avoided at all cost. And arguably, anyone who intentionally causes someone to suffer this kind of loneliness or intentionally harms or disrupts a relationship, well, I wonder if they commit an egregious sin before God. And that's the problem with this hired hand that we hear about today. When trouble arrives, the hired hand immediately runs away and flees. Rather than engaging in this difficult and often dangerous work of tending relationship, the hired hand chooses convenience over commitment. He decides to take care of himself first. He chooses to abdicate his duty to the entire flock. He chooses to sever his relationship, and that ultimately leaves him isolated from the rest of the whole. But of course, the Good Shepherd models a different way for us. Unlike the hired hand, the Good Shepherd is with us, sticking with the flock through all of the joys and the trials of life. The Good Shepherd's commitment does not end there either. And as we know from other stories in the Gospel, that Good Shepherd will go out to find even a single lost sheep when the rest of the flock is gathered in the fold. But the desire for relationship doesn't end there either, because the Good Shepherd will follow us all of the way into the grave and then beyond. That is how strong that desire for relationship is. And that is one of the great lessons of the resurrection, that God's longing is so strong for us that nothing, not even death, will sever that relationship. Now, Jesus knows this. And this reality sets him free. When he is baptized, Jesus clearly hears his name being called from the cloud. And at that moment, Jesus knows unequivocally that he belongs to God. And through his baptism, he also experiences this unwavering desire to be with God. But belonging is about a whole lot more than just a single experience. And desire, if it is more than about a fleeting urge, requires action at some point. And that's where Jesus discovers that his unwavering desire for God also means an unwavering and an unconditional desire to be with others too. For Jesus, being with God means being with others. And for the Jesus that we know and that we hear about in Scripture, that desire is especially made real and manifest when he is with others whose society otherwise would cast out and refuse to engage in any kind of relationship. So Jesus begins to tirelessly seek out the flock, just like God. He seeks out the flock to the exclusion of everything else. Now, ultimately, that costs him dearly. It costs him his life. But it doesn't cost him God. God's unshakable presence follows Jesus throughout the whole of his life, into the grave, and then beyond into the resurrection. That unshakable presence allows Jesus to be who he is. It allows Jesus to be the ideal model member of the flock. And it also allows Jesus to be the ideal shepherd that we choose to follow. So what does this story of the Good Shepherd teach us today? How are we being called to put into practice this desire to be with God, just as Jesus was with God? And how are we being called to be with each other, just as Jesus is with us? Well, a friend shared a story not too long ago that may put some of this into perspective. Several weeks ago, my friend noticed that there was a man that was hanging out outside the store where she worked. This man would come most days and sit huddled up on the edge of the property of this place where she worked, this store. So in some ways, he was literally on the margins of this place. When he first showed up, he was quiet and fairly self-contained. But over time, he grew much more agitated and anxious. Now, people at the store noticed, and in their attempt to be compassionate, several of them would go and try to reach out to this person. But as they did, he would grow more and more agitated. Their efforts to calm him down did not work. And then eventually, customers began to notice, and started to shy away from both the man and the store. And at that point, the manager of the store decided it was time to act. It was time to call the police. But before he did that, my friend reached out to him and said she wanted to do one thing. She wanted to try to contact him just one more time before the police were called. So, in what can really only be explained as one of those God moments, she just decided to try something really simple. She said to him his name. She called out to him using only his name. That's the only word that she said. Now, at first, nothing happened. But then, almost like this name being heard deep, deep in the recesses of this person's soul, this man all of a sudden settled down. And then he looked at her, and then he started to talk to her. He engaged with her in a way that no one else had been able to connect. Something shifted inside of him when he heard his name. Hearing his name on the lips of someone else told him that he was cared for and that he was known by another person. It also meant that someone wanted to connect with him, just as he was being invited to connect with her as well. And I wonder if it signaled God's own unshakable desire and deep longing to reconnect with this person. The Good Shepherd reveals a God who delights in being with us, who so wants to do and to be with us that he will do anything. This Easter season, may we know the joy of that gift. May we hear our names being called by the Good Shepherd, and may we too be willing to follow where that Shepherd will lead. Amen.